Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2513 with a release date of Friday, December 26, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Success for a DMR project in India. Say goodbye to IRCs, and a glitch in an atomic clock shows there's no time like the present. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2513 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
Our top story takes us to India. Exactly 1 year ago, ham radio stations were established in 20 residential schools in disadvantaged areas of one southwestern state. A year later, teachers and their students have become a small, thriving amateur radio community thanks to these small digital mobile radios, or DMR. John Williams, VK4JJW, has that update.
The challenge of teaching science and communication to disadvantaged students in the Indian state of Karnataka got a big boost 1 year ago when the Karnataka Residential Educational Institution Society turned 20 of its schools into ham shacks. Some of the teachers became hams and in turn guided their young students in grade 6 through 12 along the way. 40 students became hams and were soon using the DMR handheld radios, participating in the daily net and connecting to the world. More broadly, with the installation of DMR base stations by the Indian Institute of Hams, the schools themselves became communication hubs that could be used when natural disasters knocked out conventional means of contact in their remote rural communities. The past year has been one of challenge and innovation for Shirin VU3DBO, one of the 20 teachers in the school system, who received her ham radio certificate from the Ministry of Communication. The science teacher wove the radio curriculum into the classes where she also taught about energy, technology, the environment, and space. Shirin told Newsline in an email that the hands-on STEM learning, the expanded communication skills, and the exposure to teamwork has sparked the students' curiosity and built confidence over the past year. She said amateur radio was, quote, a wonderful hobby, fun in a hands-on way, end quote. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
Say goodbye to IRCs, the coupons that are still in use in parts of the world by hams requesting QSL cards. Next year at this time, they'll be gone, as we hear from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Although international reply coupons, or IRCs, are still being used by some DX-chasing hams in their request for QSL cards, that option is set to end by this time next year. Countries belonging to the Universal Postal Union have voted to discontinue their use effective 31 December 2026. The vote was taken in September at the 28th Universal Postal Congress held in Dubai. There are a number of IRCs already in circulation that bear the expiration date of 31 December 2025, and they are expected to be honoured for another year. In an era marked by a migration towards confirmations on digital platforms and in digital QSOs, the move brings an already disappearing amateur radio practice to its conclusion. A statement from the Universal Postal Union said the sunset of the IRC, first put into practice in 1907, was, and I quote, a natural progression within the broader transformation of international postal services in alignment with the digital practices and modern outlook of their customers, end quote. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Don't forget the regional amateur radio educational event taking place on Long Island, New York, Ham Radio University, which, appropriately enough, is taking place on a university campus. Long Island University Post Campus will be once again hosting the all-day program on Saturday, the 10th of January, now in its 27th year. Ham Radio University draws amateurs from around the region and also serves as the Long Island Section Convention for the ARRL. This year's featured speaker will be Adrian K08SCA, who has been preparing for a return trip to Bouvet Island as co-leader of the 24-member team. Today's offerings will include 23 forums and, of course, a discussion about POTA, Morse code, and STEM education. The date is coming up fast. Admission is free, but a $10 donation is suggested. Visit hamradiouniversity.org for more details. An advocate for hams who are blind and for the Handy Ham program that serves amateur radio operators with disabilities has become a silent key. We hear about him from Travis Lisk, N3 ILS.
The amateur radio software developed by Jim Schaefer, KE5AL, gave hams who are blind the ability to control and monitor their HF rigs without needing a sighted person's assistance, providing the freedom of independent operating in their shacks. The retired IBM software engineer knew that operating challenge all too well. He was blind since birth. Jim became a silent key on the 2nd of December. According to his online obituary, the Texas resident died of complications from Parkinson's disease. Jim's well-known applications, JJ Radio and JJ Flex Radio, attracted attention for their promise of accessibility when used with many different radio models. His development of the free programs brought him to the attention of host Hap Holly, KC9RP, host of The Rain Report, which featured an interview with Jim. Hap, who became a silent key earlier this year, had also been blind since birth, and like Jim, also supported the Handy Ham program, which trains and serves the community of hams with disabilities. Non-hams in Central Texas also knew Jim well for his other deep involvement. He was a versatile musician and popular fiddler in a number of music groups, including the Piney Grove Ramblers. Jim was 72. This is Travis Lisk, N3 ILS.
The host of a popular YouTube channel that made him the Elmer to nearly 53,000 subscribers and viewers has become a silent key. We hear about him from Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
In many of the videos on his channel, Jim Heath, W6LG, introduces himself as, quote, your YouTube Elmer for ham radio basics, unquote. In his easygoing, personable style, Jim explained, in plain and basic language, the mysteries of SWR, grounding, antennas, and dummy loads. A popular presence on YouTube, Jim brought viewers directly into his radio room via a YouTube studio inside his shack. Jim, who had endured years of hospitalizations following a leukemia diagnosis, became a silent key on December 22nd at his California home. He had been a ham since getting his license in 1964, with the call sign WN6JZC. He had held his well-known vanity call sign, W6LG, since 2004. He also grew to love chasing DX and counted among his collection the QSL cards of King Hussein of Jordan, JY1, and Father Marshall D. Moran, N91MM, the first ham operator in Nepal. Jim had also been the owner of High Sierra, which made one of the first screwdriver antennas for mobile HF use. Over much of his adult life, Jim faced numerous health challenges, a disabling fall from a roof in 1998 while working as a building inspector, and a series of health crises later, including pulmonary embolisms, congestive heart failure, and severe osteoporosis. Then came the news that he had leukemia. In his final months, he appeared on Ham Smarter, the YouTube channel of Vince Dione, VE6LK, and the two became friends. Vince described Jim as, quote, a good friend to many and an Elmer to all, unquote. Announcing Jim's death, Vince urged hams to continue visiting the W6LG channel so they can, quote, learn from the best, end quote. Jim was in his mid-70s.
To hear a QSO Today interview with Jim in 2020, visit qsotoday.com. Time for you to identify your station. We're the amateur radio newsline heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WB0QXW repeater system in St. Louis, Missouri on 145.210 megahertz, Mondays after the World Friendship Net beginning at 7 p.m. Central Time. The sudden assembly of thousands of people in one small, rural, 16-block-long Minnesota town in early December spurred swift and careful action from first responders and amateur radio operators. But this was no community in crisis. It was a celebration. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, explains.
The small town of Arlington, Minnesota is always happy to welcome newcomers, particularly at its annual holiday festival, the Arlie Dazzle. No doubt there were first-timers among those attending the estimated crowd size of 10,000 who arrived on December 5th and 6th, feeling the holiday spirit. Perhaps more importantly, the newcomers included 10 ham radio operators, six of them newly licensed technicians with handy talkies in hand, as part of the team of more than 34 hams who volunteered to ensure that everyone enjoyed this holiday tradition. Don Burgess, KC0Q&A, the emergency radio coordinator for Sibley County, told Newsline in an email, quote, "This town event is one that a lot of my radio team really looks forward to doing each year, regardless of temps or weather conditions. The local police chief looks to us as his reserve officers in many aspects, and we never let him or the community down," end quote. He said the hams travel from as far away as Minneapolis-St. Paul, the so-called Twin Cities, about an hour away, to make sure that things went smoothly, from setting up barricades for the 5K runners to setting up light generators for the parade route. The Sibley Emergency Radio Team Club, with Don as safety and logistics coordinator, have provided that reassuring presence for the past 16 years. The team is no stranger to community service at dozens of public events, even in nearby towns such as Gaylord. "This festival, however, is one that's special," said Don, quote, "It really takes on the mom-and-pop old days family Christmas vibes for sure," end quote. The team is happy to lend mom and pop a hand. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The new year brings an opportunity to honor the memory of a satellite enthusiast who left the lasting legacy of a popular CW event. We have those details from Randy Sly, W4XJ.
Ray Swafer, W2RS, loved CW, and he also loved satellites. Before becoming a Silent Key in March of 2022, Ray gave a gift to both the CW and satellite communities. AMSAT's CW Activity Day, formerly known as AMSAT Straight Key Night. The annual event has been renamed the W2RS Memorial AMSAT CW Activity Day. And as always, the on-air action is taking place on January 1st, the same day that the ARRL holds Straight Key Night. Participants use any amateur radio multimode satellite to make QSOs using CW on that day between 0:00 and 23:59 UTC. Although the use of a straight key or a bug is not required, it is strongly encouraged. So are photos and video clips, which operators are invited to share on various social media platforms with AMSAT as the tag. As for logs, they're not necessary either, but AMSAT would like operators to submit reports to the AMSAT BB. One word of caution, operators are urged to use the minimum power necessary to complete their contacts. Constant carrier modes such as CW are capable of disrupting transponders. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
In this holiday season, there's still plenty to celebrate in the world of DX. Listen for the Israel Amateur Radio Club call signs 4X25X, 4X25M, 4X25A, and 4X25S on the air from the 25th through the 31st of December using CW, SSB, and FT8. QSL via 4X6ZM through the Bureau or direct. Throughout the new year 2026, the special call sign DB100FT will be on the air to celebrate the 100th birthday of the Berlin Radio Tower, which has played a major role in Germany's radio broadcast history. Ken J01VRK is on the air from Saipan, IOTA number OC086, from the 29th of December through the 3rd of January. Listen on 40 to 10 meters, where Ken will be using CW and digital modes. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Two special call signs are celebrating Bulgaria's admission into the Eurozone and the nation's adoption of the euro as currency. Listen for LZ2025 Zone and LZ2026 Euro, starting on the 1st of January. QSL via LZ2VP. An additional call sign, LZ1 Ural, will be active from the 1st through to the 6th of January. QSL via LZ3SCO. With the old year ending and a new year starting up, it might seem to some of us that time is out of sorts. Well, it actually was out of sorts here in the U.S. in Boulder, Colorado, home of the F4 atomic clock that delivers the official time with precision, right down to the microseconds. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, explains.
A storm-related power cut by the electric utility serving the Boulder campus of the National Institute of Standards and Technology caused a drift in time of 4 millionths of a second in the official timekeeper, the F4 atomic clock. Those moments are immeasurable and of little importance to most of us, except for those who rely on precision in data centers, global positioning systems, aerospace, telecommunications, and the Network Time Protocol Service, the timing resource for computer systems. In the wake of the storm, Jeff Sherman, the physicist who maintains the atomic clocks, reported in a mailing list post on Google Groups that, quote, "The atomic ensemble timescale at our Boulder campus has failed due to a prolonged utility power outage," end quote. By some reports then, in late December, time literally stood still, however briefly, until the switch was made to a backup generator. That cost the F4 atomic clock its accuracy. Anticipating the storm with winds of hurricane strength, the NIST had previously advised users to connect to redundant systems at other campuses, such as WWV, Fort Collins, Colorado, or Gaithersburg, Maryland, which remained unaffected. As for the F4 atomic clock in Boulder, the time discrepancy was resolved with the clock's recalibration after the power was back on by Sunday, December 21st. It was, of course, just a matter of time. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
If you haven't sent in your ham radio haiku yet, what's been stopping you? Visit our website at arnewsline.org, and as you compose your ode to your favorite online activity, we will help you use the correct number of syllables to make an authentic haiku. Submit your work, and then sit back and wait to hear whether you are the winner of this week's challenge. The winner gets a shout-out on our website, where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, AMSAT, News Service, ARRL, ARISS, Austin Natural Funerals, CBS News, David Bihar, K7DB, Denver Post, Don Burgess, KC0QNA, Facebook, Federal Register, 425DX Bulletin, HandyHamGroups.io, NIST Google Groups, The Rain Report Archive, ShortwaveRadio.de, Wireless Institute of Australia, YouTube, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen E. Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. We wish all our listeners the very best for the year ahead in 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.